Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In a teacher-student relationship, or a musician-mentor, or coach-player, how far is too far to go in the pursuit of excellence, of greatness? And when things are really crazy, really out there, is it just the teacher going rogue, or the student too, the player and the coach? The new movie Whiplash takes on the question in this drama of a hungry young drummer and his out-there teacher. This hour on Point, Damien Chazelle is with us, director of Whiplash. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Where is the line between obsession and abuse in the pursuit of greatness, of excellence? Have you been there? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Here's a scene from Damien Chazelle's Whiplash. The band leader at an unnamed elite music conservatory in New York City, played by the amazing J.K. Simmons, first happens upon the young, desperately ambitious drum student Andrew Neiman practicing alone at night. And right away, from the second they meet, he's driving the boy harder and harder.
Did I ask you to start playing again?
Sorry,
I asked why you stopped playing, and your version of an answer was to turn into a wind-up monkey.
Sorry, I thought...
Show me your rudiments.
Yes, sir.
Joining me now from the studios of NPR West in Culver City, California, is Damien Chazelle, director of the new movie Whiplash. It's been wowing the film festivals this past year with its story of obsession and abuse. It's out in theaters nationally now. It won both the Grand Jury Prize and the Dramatic Audience Awards at this year's Sundance Film Festival, as well as the People's Choice Award. The New York Times' A.O. Scott, who we will hear from in this hour, wrote that Whiplash, quote, can feel as wild and spontaneous, as risky and precise as a live jam session. This is Chazelle's second feature film. His first was Guy and Madeline on a Park Bench. Damien Chazelle, welcome to On Point. Wonderful to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your festival victories and the big noise around this film. It's a great theme. We've seen it, I guess, in other films, but where did you come up with the inspiration to set it, to find it in the world of music?
It was really personal, ultimately. I was a jazz drummer, or at least an aspiring jazz drummer myself in a kind of competitive big band sort of situation. In my case, it was in high school. And I remember I had a teacher, a conductor, who pushed me very hard. Was not at all abusive or anywhere to the level of what J.K. Simmons does in this film. But I do remember this kind of climate of fear, at least in my impressionable young mind at the time. That band rehearsal started to feel like it was certainly not a source of enjoyment. It was like going to war every day. It felt like I could feel the blood start, you know, pumping faster hours before rehearsal would come up. And then during rehearsal, I'd be a sweaty mess. And afterwards, I'd feel totally spent. And it was just this kind of up and down, super emotionally intense kind of roller coaster. And it felt more intense to me than a lot of music movies I'd seen. So that was something I wanted to try to capture, that kind of intensity. And also imagining, what if your teacher really weren't just, you know, scary and intimidating and really demanding? What if the teacher really did cross the line? So that's kind of, those sort of questions were what led me to this. Because ultimately, I became a better drummer as a result of the climate I was in. I know that. But if you push that further, I'm not sure if it's worth it.
If you get all the way to sadistic or sociopathic, describe these two characters for us. You've got Miles Teller playing Andrew Neiman, the young drummer who really wants it. And, of course, J.K. Simmons with this amazing performance of the over-the-top, intense Terrence Fletcher, who's the music teacher. But flesh out those characters, because most people will not yet have seen Whiplash.
Miles Teller's character, Andrew, you know, I guess to some extent it's my alter ego, at least how I was when I was a drummer. You know, he's very driven, he's very focused, but he's a little unformed. He's got some kind of, you know, talent on the drums, but not enough to really convince anyone around him that he's kind of destined for greatness, except for this one teacher played by J.K. Simmons, Terrence Fletcher, who is able to kind of see through the uncertainty and kind of see this core of potential within. So that's the really good thing about Terrence Fletcher, is that he has that kind of ear and that kind of eye. But what Fletcher then proceeds to do is really push Andrew beyond what I think, you know, any viewer would probably deem acceptable. But he has this philosophy, and it's a philosophy that I don't entirely share, but I find really compelling. And you see it in a lot of these really tough educators or tough band leaders in jazz history, which is that, that's the way that greatness has to be forged. You know, that greatness comes through this sort of, I hate to use the word abuse, but basically this kind of brutality is actually necessary for the art form. It's not just sadism. It's actually part and parcel of what it's all about.
We kind of know that butt-kicking drill sergeant or the Bobby Knight character from the world of sports.
Yep.
What's interesting here is that you show how there is a dance going on here. Even as things get really crazy, they're both sides are in there. There's a scene, it's nice, they're around the table at home. The young man, he's in a sort of high school age, or he's having dinner with his father, Jim, played by Paul Reiser, and his uncle Frank and his cousins. And his uncle Frank asks this obsessed drummer if he has any friends. You can hear he's getting at more than that. Like, where are you going? What are you doing? Here's the exchange.
Got any friends, Andy?
No.
Well, why is that?
I don't know. I just never really saw the use.
Oh, well, you can play with otherwise. Lennon and McCartney, they were school buddies, am I right?
Charlie Parker didn't know anybody until Joe Jonas threw a cymbal at his head.
So that's your idea of success, huh?
I think being the greatest musician of the 20th century is anybody's idea of success.
Dying broke and drunk and full of heroin at the age of 34 is not exactly my idea of success.
I'd rather die drunk, broke at 34 and have people at a dinner table talk about me than live to be rich and sober at 90 and nobody remember who I was.
Ah, but your friends will remember you. That's the point.
None of us were friends with Charlie Parker. That's the point.
Damien, that's beautiful writing. Is that yours?
Yeah.
That's hats off. That's just a tremendous exchange. I mean, you really set up the hunger in this young man, which I guess you have to set up in order for him to begin to take the kind of abuse that comes from the teacher. But that's deep. That's like, I'll go anywhere. Bring on the heat. I want it almost, Damien.
Yeah, I think, and I think I heard you say this earlier, which is really true. It's you know, ultimately, this isn't just a movie about you know, a crazy teacher and the poor helpless student who's kind of put through the wringer. I think part of what attracts Fletcher to Andrew in the very beginning of the movie is that he can recognize a little bit of that kindred craziness in Andrew, and so Andrew himself is sort of. He's the perfect target for Fletcher in a way, but he's also probably the one person who's actually able to not only able to withstand Fletcher's abuse, but actually thrives off it to a certain extent. And that to me is where, you know, where you get into this kind of slippery kind of moral line. I mean, the role that Paul Reiser plays, Andrew's dad, is you know, he kind of slowly watches in horror as his son kind of drifts away from him. But again, philosophically, anything that Andrew says in that scene, I see where he's coming from. I certainly, it's all stuff that I recognize within myself, this kind of cutthroat sort of all or nothing drive. And I think it's necessary for any artist to, you know, at least have a part of themselves in that mindset to kind of drive them. I think the question is, when that mindset becomes all-consuming, at what point is it just too much?
When the young guy wants to be the Charlie Parker or the Buddy Rich, and the older guy, the teacher, spots it, it gets really wild. But here's that they meet for the first time again, and you can hear right away that tough teacher pushing.
Double time swing. No, double time. Double it. Faster.
And it just gets more intense as it goes. I mean, way out there. You filmed this in 19 days. You're a young director. How do you create this? How do you make the bubble, the pressure cooker of tension, show up so on the screen, Damien?
You know, I mean, I guess there's two answers to that. One is just to surround yourself with good people. You know, I was, uh, I was, uh, kind of got very spoiled in terms of the cast and crew I had around me. But I don't know, in a weird way, I think the it felt kind of like a pressure cooker shooting the movie just because of the schedule and the limitations. And while at the time I did nothing but kind of, you know, probably complain about, you know, you always complain about, oh, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more of this, more of this. But looking back, I think it created this kind of urgency on set. Everyone was just, we didn't really have time to overthink things. We really kind of were running and gunning the whole time. And I think this was actually a movie that benefited from that sort of blind kind of intensity on set.
It shows up in spades. We see what Sundance got excited about. Many people will see that soon. We're going to hear in just a moment from the great New York Times chief film critic A.O. Scott on Damien Chazelle's new film, Whiplash, about that thin line between obsession and abuse. We're also going to go back and hear from maybe the seedbed for all this, get right into high school jazz band director's world, and a very significant one. Listeners, you can join us. Have you had a teacher, a mentor, a coach who took you right to the edge, maybe over it? And what was that like for you, for him, for her? Did it make you great or fry you, burn you out? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Is that what it takes to get greatness? I'm Tom Ashbrook with director Damien Chazelle of Whiplash. We'll be right back. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the director of the new movie Whiplash, the big Sundance winner on the thin line between obsession and abuse in pursuit of greatness. It's about a young jazz drummer pushed beyond the edge by a wild teacher. The director is Damien Chazelle. He is with us. We know this type, you know, 1982, Officer and a Gentleman, Richard Gere, the young student there, and, of course, Louis Gossett Jr. He's that out there drill sergeant. Here's a little scene.
You better stop eyeballing me, boy. You're not worthy enough to look your superiors in the eye. Use your peripheral vision. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, every time I say understand, I want the whole group to say, yes, sir!
In the military, yes. In sports, Bobby Knight coached basketball at Indiana for 29 years before he was dismissed because of his violent coaching style. Here he is in a 1991 practice yelling at his players just out there.
I'm tired of losing to Purdue. I'm not here to around this week. Now, you may be. But I'm not. Now, I'm going to guarantee you that if we don't play up there Monday night, you aren't going to believe the next day.
Have you had one of those? That mentor, that coach, that teacher, that music teacher that just went over the edge? I want to bring it to you, Damien. Here's early on. You've got the teacher, and he's talking about, oh, there's mediocrity everywhere, including in all those Starbucks jazz albums.
I tell you, man, and every Starbucks jazz album just proves my point, really. There are no two words in the English language more harmful than good job.
Good job, good job. Good job, not good enough. What if everybody just said good job? He takes it right on.
So imagine if Jones had just said, well, that's okay, Charlie. That was all right. Good job. When Charlie thinks to himself, well, I did do a pretty good job. End of story. No bird. That, to me, is an absolute tragedy. But that's just what the world wants now. People wonder why jazz is dying.
And he's talking there, of course, about Joe Jones, who threw the cymbal, apocryphal story maybe, at Charlie Parker, the great, in Kansas City's Reno Club, to push him to go further. Damien, how did you... We're going to hear some of the tougher scenes, maybe not the toughest, but a tough one here in a moment. How did you get your actors ready for this? This is where, you know, they're playing, they're rehearsing, and we're going to get into slapping and throwing and everything else. How do you work up to this moment as a director with your actors?
Well, I think, not over rehearsing, actually. At the end of the day, this was, when we were rolling on set, this was the first time that they had ever kind of, spoken these lines to each other. So there was a sort of freshness there. I think there's ways to rehearse without rehearsing in a way. So a lot of kind of talking with the actors individually beforehand. Both of them, J.K. Simmons actually went to music school. He actually originally trained to be a conductor and a composer before segueing into acting. Yeah. And Miles has played music his whole life. Has also, has liked to talk to me about particularly tough acting instructors he's had. So they each kind of had their way in. I do remember I was reminded of when I was listening to the Bobby Knight clip. I sent J.K. There's very similar clips of Buddy Rich ripping apart his band on a tour bus that you can find sort of candidly recorded, and you can find on YouTube or anywhere on the net. Mm-hmm. There are things to pull from, even in the music world, that I think helped JK. But at the end of the day, we rolled the camera, and that's again where I just get lucky to have two actors who really can switch it on at a moment's notice.
Let's hear some of that where it gets rough during rehearsal with the band. The teacher, Fletcher, played by J.K. Simmons, keeps interrupting, politely at first to correct his pupil, Andrew Neiman Miles Teller, on his drumming. Over and over again, he stops the music and says, "Again." And then as the band is playing, he grabs a folding chair, you'll hear it, and hurls it at Andrew. Andrew, the other students all flinch just in time. The teacher storms over and confronts Andrew, shouting, slapping his face.
Why do you suppose I just hurled a chair at your head, Neiman?
I don't know.
Sure you do.
The tempo?
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
I don't know.
Start counting.
5, 6, 7.
In 4, damn it! Look at me!
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, was I rushing or was I dragging?
I don't know.
Count again.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Rushing or dragging?
Rushing.
So you do know the difference.
And the student's face is redder and redder, and the slaps keep coming. It's not a drill sergeant, but it could be. Damien Chazelle is director of Whiplash. It's opening all over the country this weekend. Matt in Newton, Massachusetts. Matt, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I love this conversation and excited about this movie. And it really resonates for me because I actually had a similar experience.
In music, in sports, what, Matt?
In music and in sport. So in music, I studied with a gentleman named Chuck Brown out in California.
What instrument?
Even in drums,
okay.
Percussion.
Uh-huh.
And even in getting in with him, I called him the first time. He picked up the phone. He said, "Yeah, great. Call me every Sunday at 2:30. And I did. I called him every Sunday at 2:30 for 3 months straight and never missed and right on time.
Yeah.
Finally, 3 months, he picked up the phone and said, "Okay, you're in for one lesson."
Wow.
And I studied with him for, 5 years.
Was that good or bad? Were you psycho land or?
It was amazing. Throwing chairs, screaming, and all out of passion, all out of compassion, all out of a love of what he's doing and a seriousness in his industry, and really understanding the hardship and what it takes to be absolutely great at what you do.
Matt, it sounds like you totally bought in. I mean, you're looking at this and saying this made me better. This made me great.
This took me into my now career, and I'm a gymnastics instructor.
Wait a minute. We thought it was drums. Help us there.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So, in my life, made a transition, still play to this day, play drums, and all the while, to make money, I always coach gymnastics. And now I own a gymnastics gym, and in my career, I worked at an elite junior national level. I had kids in the gym 36 hours a week, and I know where that passion comes from. Requiring children and gymnasts to work at their absolute top, their absolute potential.
But do you have to push it to that slapping, screaming, chair-throwing place? Do the kids appreciate that? Do their parents permit it?
Not with children. Not with children. No, absolutely not. And I understand the intensity, and I understand where that intensity comes from. And at least what I took away from it was it's an intensity that they really they want it in every student, and it's not about them. It's not about the. It's just ingrained.
Hey, Matt, stand by. Damien Chazelle, this is sort of direct testimony from the world, kind of saying, yeah. Yes, Damien, you put your finger straight on it.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. I was. I think it's fascinating. I mean, I do have to say, it reminds me when. And again, this is not my way of condoning all the behavior that's in the movie. A lot of which is even worse than the clips we've heard. But
yes.
I do remember back when I was writing the script, and I was actually kind of, you know, getting feedback from various people, some musicians, some drummers, even, you know, including high level jazz drummers, and then a lot of people who, you know, weren't in the music world at all. And it was interesting to see this sort of variety of reactions. And I do remember on a single day getting two reactions, both of which were in their own way complaints. One was the more standard kind of complaint, and this was someone who was not a musician, just saying, you know, there's no way a teacher could get away with this, and this is, you know, this is just this is abhorrent behavior. And but then there was one of the jazz drummers I remember sort of asking if the script was perhaps a little bit too tame, and that actually he'd been through worse, and not only that, but he felt that. That's what it takes. And I remember just that kind of cognitive dissonance of those two reactions, right, you know, sitting side by side. And again, I don't necessarily side with one or the other. I just think that it's I do think that the one thing I will say, and maybe this speaks to Matt's point, is that I think this is more common in the music world, or the sort of really high-end kind of competitive music world, whether it's jazz or classical or whatever, than I think people outside that world sometimes realize.
Matt, I'm really glad you called. Thanks for that. Tony A.O. Scott joins us in just a moment. You want to hear some of the sound of that going further? Here's another moment from band practice in Whiplash. The teacher, Fletcher, leaning over the student, Andrew, like a Marine drill sergeant, screaming here, inches from his face. Andrew's overwhelmed, looking down at his snare, drum, tear streaming down his face.
If you deliberately sabotage my band, I will gut you like a pig.
Oh, my dear God. Are you one of those single-tier people?
You are a worthless pansy ass who is now weeping and slobbering all over my drum set like a 9-year-old girl.
From Whiplash, big winner at Sundance, director Damien Chazelle is with us. A.O. Scott joins us right now from New York, chief film critic for the New York Times. You can read his review of Whiplash at our website. Link to it there at onpointradio.org. A.O. Scott, Tony Scott, thank you very much for being here.
Always glad to.
What do you make of this film?
Well, I like this movie very much, as I've said in print.
Yes.
What I like about it is how seriously it takes the idea of greatness and of the ambition to really be the best at something, and kind of reckons what the cost of that is. Because in a way, you know, the story is certainly driven to some extent by the J.K. Simmons character. Intensity and passion and drive and the way that he treats not only Andrew but other people in his band as well. But it's also really driven by Andrew's own ambition. You know, he kind of chooses this.
He's signing up.
And yeah, and without giving, you know, anything away, he does re-up at various points. And the movie, I think, does a very good job, as Damien has been saying in your conversation, of kind of looking at it from both sides, of allowing you to look at what this guy is doing, what the older guy is doing to the younger guy, and saying, "Oh my God, that's horrible!
Wow.
How could this be allowed? How could this be tolerated? What could be worth this?" And then also at the same time showing you exactly what could be worth this, which is the aspiration, you know, not because this is the world of jazz, or not to be world famous, because I think, you know, other than Charlie, you know, there are not a lot of.
Yeah.
Of living, you know, say under 70 non-Wynton Marsalis jazz musicians whose name everybody knows,
yes.
But to be absolutely unquestionably the best in your field, and to enter into a field also where the standards in a way are absolute, where there's no question, you know, where good job is never enough, where everybody knows if you did it, if you have it, if you got it right, if you kind of won the game.
It is intense. The film is Whiplash. Let's go to Bill in Auburn, Alabama. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I was just wanting to say one of the greatest groups was the Mahavishnu Orchestra in the fusion genre.
Yeah.
And evidently, the leader, John McLaughlin, didn't even know, you know, how hard he was pushing the band until he was reading a magazine. Sometimes I think this ability to compartmentalize is sociopathic if he doesn't have any empathy towards... Just want your guest to talk about that.
Well, one can imagine maybe not hearing the feedback until you read somebody reporting it. Damien, are you deliberately taking this to someplace sociopathic, unjustifiable, or do you leave that for us to decide?
I think that, and this was part of sort of why I guess I didn't just, you know, write about, for example, my conductor who was tough, but, you know, within reason, and actually was a hugely inspirational figure for me. Part of why I sort of pushed this character to the extremes that that he displays in the movie was to sort of make this behavior as kind of objectively unjustifiable. I guess I was trying to kind of pose the question in pretty stark terms, especially sort of towards the end of the movie, where you have potentially a certain kind of artistic high coupled with the behavior that we've seen lead up to that, and trying to make that behavior as clearly awful as the result is potentially great, just to sort of pose the question in very kind of stark, clear terms. In a way, I sort of, I do find fascinating that sort of idea of one not realizing the extent to which they've kind of gone off the deep end. I think the another kind of potentially positive thing I'll say about J.K. Simmons' character is that I do believe that this is not someone who woke up in the morning deciding to just be a sadist and bully people for pleasure. I do think that to a large degree, the behavior it displays comes from a genuine passion for this music, and it's a passion for a music that's not high paying anymore. That's not you know, sort of full of celebrity anymore. It's a music that he's really kind of, he has this sort of irrational, but in some ways admirable, deep passion for the music that's in his head.
And you've done it well. A.O. Scott writes in his review that Whiplash finally achieves an authenticity at once more exalted and more primal than mere verisimilitude. Tony Scott, can you imagine standing with the director and whack, whack, whacking him until he got that primal authenticity?
Well, that's not quite my style.
MO.
I wouldn't presume to know how to teach anyone how to make a movie. But you know, it is kind of in a way related to what critics do. I mean, we try to hold artists and art up to the highest possible standard, which means that sometimes we're not very nice. You know, we're not generous. We withdraw the benefit of the doubt. And I think, you know, and there are some critics who take that to an abusive extreme, perhaps. But in a way, it's the same. I mean, I recognize the kind of perfectionism and the high standard. And the impatience of the J.K. Simmons character, even as I also recognize the sort of the eagerness and desire of the Miles Teller.
Tony, hold the thought. A.O. Scott, who slaps him around with a little kindness and eloquence. The film is Whiplash. The director is Damien Chazelle. He's with us. You can join us. 800-423-8255. Obsession, abuse. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the director of the new movie Whiplash, the big Sundance winner, on the thin line between obsession and abuse in pursuit of greatness. About a young jazz drummer pushed beyond the edge by a wild teacher, the director is Damien Chazelle. He joins us from NPR West in California today. A.O. Scott, chief film critic for the New York Times, is here as well. You can read his review. Link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Gillian writes online, this film sounds fab and terrifies me. Chad in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Chad, what do you think?
I have a similar experience when I was in the Marine Corps back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
We had drill instructors that were similar to what you see in Full Metal Jacket.
Yes.
And it made us better Marines by doing that. It separated the people that couldn't take it to the people that really wanted greatness. And now that that's kind of went by the wayside, you see a decline in the, today's military as far as I'm concerned.
Boy, you think it took all the way to the abuse to break through to greatness, Chad? Are you sure in your heart of hearts?
Yes, because the people that couldn't take the abuse
yep.
ended up getting out, and the ones that could take it became Marines.
Chad, I appreciate your call. Damien, are you intending one lesson or another to the nation here? Are you saying stay the nation where drill sergeants are just bad to the bone? Or watch out, this can go too far, or are we supposed to decide?
I think one interesting distinction is between the arts and then the type of sort of worlds where maybe we're more accustomed to this kind of behavior, maybe sports, certainly army settings. I think there's a lot of validity to this idea that when it comes to just purely when it comes to kind of an objective idea of greatness, that you push people really hard, and those who can't take it get out. I think there's a real validity to that. I think, but the one what becomes interesting, or maybe what becomes difficult, is when you apply that to the arts, which normally you think should be less objective, should be more about self-expression, and maybe mm-hmm. should be, especially something like jazz. It's part of what was interesting sure. to me about making this movie about jazz, because in a way, the cliche of jazz, I mean, you can't imagine an art form more that's supposed to be more free and more mm-hmm. kind of, loose and more instinctual. But I think that within that world, especially within big band jazz, you see these tendencies that are not that dissimilar from stuff you might see in sports or in the army. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that big band jazz was the kind of music of the army for several decades. Or maybe, maybe it's something about drumming, a jazz drumming being an evolution of military drumming. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but there's something to me about the kind of autocratic tendencies you sometimes see in band leaders. It certainly reminded
sports.
Me of Full Metal Jacket.
And in the military, Full Metal Jacket. I heard you breathing yes to that one, A.O. Scott. And here in the arts, Irene in Burlington, Massachusetts. Irene, you're on.
Oh, hi. My daughter went to RISD, Rhode Island School of Design.
Yeah.
And the professors were allowed to belittle the kids. And this one professor she had, if you didn't meet her standards, and I think this was also other professors were allowed to do this, she would just kick you out of the course completely. This would be after a lot of verbal abuse. And in my daughter's case, she then invited her back into the course and then continued to harass her to the point where at one point she took her sculpture and took pieces of it and threw it on the floor and stuff in front of my kid. And my daughter would watch kids leave classes in tears because of what the professor said to them. And it's called the boot camp year, the first year. It's called boot camp.
Right.
And they just treat the kids like garbage, I think, anyway. And she just left. She went to a school in Boston called the Academy of Realist Art, which is a great place. It's an atelier. And she actually got a much better education.
Irene, we've got it. I mean, RISD, many love it, but the boot camp, maybe it's not right for a lot of people. Maybe sometimes not right for anybody. It's a choice. It's out there. I want to get right kind of into the music world on this as well. We have with us A.O. Scott, Damien Chazelle, stand by. Joe Bongiovi is with us from Princeton, New Jersey. Since 2006, he's been the band director at the Princeton High School Studio Band. The school has six count them, jazz bands. And the studio band, the top band, won all kinds of prizes. First prize in National High School Band Competition organized by the Berklee School of Music here in Boston. Damien, you were in this band, if I've got this right.
Yep.
And Joe teaches it now. Joe Bon Jovi, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom.
You've got a legacy of a hard-driving band leader here that before your time, many students would have known, maybe that inspired Damien. Tell us the story, Joe.
Well, I was fortunate when I arrived at Princeton because I inherited a program with a long tradition of excellence and a long tradition of working and work ethic. And, we still strive for that excellence and that work ethic. But, you know, over time, education has changed and many things have changed and what is tolerable and what is not. But, the one thing that we all have consistently over centuries of music and musicians have strived for is self-discipline and discipline on the instrument, which eventually hopefully goes to the ensemble.
I mean, our Marine, former Marine, calling in from Oklahoma, said to his eye, to his mind, it took that really wicked tough drill sergeant to make a great Marine. How do you look at musicians now? The kind of tough stuff depicted in Whiplash, the kind of tough stuff that may have predated you right there in your own school. Does it take that? Is it acceptable now? If it's not, can we still get the excellence?
Well, the quick answer is no, it's not acceptable now. That being said, you know, there's been a big national push with differentiated instruction, and every student learns differently, and every student reacts differently to different types of instruction. And it's hard when you're dealing with any large group of students, whether it's a jazz band or a football team, to teach or convey your methods and your points in any one particular way that's going to affect the students the same way. So as educators, we're striving to figure out how to reach each kid, and every kid reacts differently. So what might be too tough for one student might not be enough for another student, but it's our job as educators to try to figure that out and go through that maze to make sure that we're doing our jobs.
But bottom line, you can get to the supreme excellence without that raving or not?
I like to think we've done it the last 5 or 6 years. Our rehearsals now are very rigorous and they're intense. We did see the movie. I saw the movie and a couple of current students and parents saw the movie. So I got to see everybody's reaction. And we all loved it for different reasons. And it connects to everybody for different reasons. But, our rehearsals nowadays do get intense. But, there's no chair throwing or anything.
Yeah,
What we've instilled through our instruction and with our kids is the sense of excellence that they're striving for is really a character-based thing. It's within themselves. So the music is the music. How they play it is how they play it. And what they do to get to that level is a self-reflected thing. And then they put it together with the team as the full band.
John in Newport, Rhode Island. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Mm-hmm. I can certainly relate to the allure of the kind of intensity that is being talked about today. I'm a pianist, and one of the most important musical influences in my life was a teacher I studied with at the Aspen Music Festival in Colorado for two summers, a man named Albeit Serko, who was kind of a legendary teacher and on the West Coast and taught a number of well-known pianists. And I absolutely adored him for the charismatic and profound musician he was. But studying with him came with a price. And during these often 3 to 4 hour lessons with him that were usually given in front of a small audience of his other students, the lesson was laced with all kinds of biting witticisms that I often found humorous and benign, but others all found devastating, and it was not that unusual for a student to leave the lesson fighting back tears. And even I've noticed that many of his former students have never quite recovered from the kind of scarring that produced. And when it came time for me to sort of embark on a career, I thought of going to study with Serko out in Los Angeles, but I decided against it. I was now 21 and instead moved to New York and went to Juilliard. And I kind of felt like I was a little too old and did not want to be subjected to that kind of, if you could call it abuse.
Was it sadism? Does it have a place, John, or was it just a kind of old school sociopathology?
Well, maybe there's some element. I mean, it's a very cloistered environment you are, and it's, and again, these were funny comments, some of them, and some of them were not quite so funny, but but I think it's important as a pianist, for instance, I think to kind of, part of it is to, an important choice I think one has to make is to not become too beholden to one's teachers, because ultimately being a pianist is about being an individual, and I think you have to be psychologically strong to do that and self-possessed, and if you're spending your whole life trying to please a teacher, you never cross that threshold into becoming your own artist.
John, and I'm so glad you called with that story. That's really terrific. That's kind of Joe Bon Jovi's point. Find it in yourself, though, what it takes to get there. Thanks so much for that. Let me get one more. Hampton, Virginia. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm just calling about dance in relationship to what you're talking about.
Black Swan-style dance. We saw that kind of hard-driving craziness.
Well, I'm actually thinking about Chorus Line.
Okay.
As you can see, you know, stripping down the people,
sure,
getting to their core and their passion.
Mm-hmm.
That was excellent on Broadway. And then even in reality TV, Abbey's Dance Studio, we see the finished product of a dancer, but sometimes, to use the word torture, that you have to go through to hone your talent is required.
Yeah. Linda, I appreciate your call. Tony Scott, what about in the world of film, on screen and off? You know,
well,
the tyrannical, you know, push everybody too far versus other ways.
Well, I mean, you see the character. I mean, you had Louis Gossett Jr. is a great example. And it's kind of a staple of movies about the military and of sports. You know, the character who's either the monster, the sociopathic, to use your word, monster, or the guy who's going to make sure that all of these other people learn to do it right and
come out
and
alive,
to function and survive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's interesting because Whiplash coincided for me. There are two other movies that are around now about music teachers. So three is a trend. I don't know what it reflects in our particular zeitgeist, but there's a documentary that I think is available on some VOD platforms, directed by Alan Hicks, called Keep On Keepin' On, which is about the great jazz trumpeter Clark Terry and a young man named Justin Coughlin, who is his student, who's a pianist, who is his protege, and it has a different and I think in a way complementary depiction of that mentor-student relationship. There's another movie directed by Ethan Hawke, the actor, called Seymour, An Introduction, about a legendary classical piano teacher in New York named Seymour Bernstein. And neither of these real-life teachers, Seymour Bernstein or Clark Terry, are as abusive as Terrence Fletcher, but in a way they are as rigorous. I mean, they're benevolent and supportive and loving to their students, but they are also intensely demanding, and always saying, play that again, do it again, do it again, do it one more time, do it again. So you see it with Clark Terry, who's well into his 80s. He turns 90 in the course of this movie, and his health is not good. Lying in his bed while the student is playing on a keyboard.
Again,
You know, then it's 3 or 4 in the morning, and they've been at it for 10 hours. So I think that those movies, while they show a more generous, less kind of malevolent or sadistic spirit behind the instruction, they show exactly the same rigor and perfectionism. And there's a great discussion in the Clark Terry movie about the difference between an amateur and a master. And there are many, many infinite amateurs in the world and very, very few masters. And to make the leap from amateur to master is what takes all of that punishing, whether sadistic or not, all of that punishing, repetition and practice and honing of the skill and the craft.
You said it. Three makes a trend. Put your cultural antenna way out there. What is it directors or we are looking for right now that might take us to this going right to the punishing line of mastery?
Well, I think we're fascinated by certain forms of excellence. I mean, we have a educational system and a culture that is very tolerant and very benevolent and very encouraging. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I mean, having you know, my children having gone through school, I'm very glad that the teachers were nice to them and encouraged them and told them that they did a good job, even if, you know, other people were doing a better job. I think that's very, very healthy. But there's also just this fact that in certain pursuits, there are these kind of non-subjective, non-negotiable standards of excellence. And we're fascinated by why do we love sports as much as we do? Because we want we get a thrill out of seeing something done as well as it can possibly be done. And watching two people or two teams at the very, very height who are, you know, at the pinnacle of accomplishment, who have worked hard to get there, fight each other to see who's on top. And there's a history of that in jazz. You know, there's a history of cutting competitions and of playing someone off the bandstand. You know, the way you get your place in Count Basie's orchestra is to play the other guy off, to be better than him. And we're both a very kind of touchy-feely and tolerant culture and also an intensely competitive one. And I think a movie like Whiplash captures that dichotomy really beautifully.
Whiplash takes us right there. It's opening this weekend. Damien Chazelle, the young director. Damien, congratulations.
Thank you
so much for joining us. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
A.O. Scott, always wonderful to have you. Chief film critic at the New York Times. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Joe Bongiovi, ever been tempted to throw that chair, Joe?
I can't say that publicly, but it would never happen.
it would never happen. Joe Bongiovi, he is band director of the Princeton High School Studio Band. First prize in National High School Band Competition organized by Berklee School of Music right here in Boston. Joe, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Mastery, beautiful. I'm Tom Ashbrook. The rest, I don't know. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.